the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So are you ready for the word tonight? Turn with me in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. I know that's our verse, our passage. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14 says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas." Amen. Now again, I had a vision over 20 years ago of a water tower opening up, and inside the water tower was a city of glory. Amen. Don't go into all the details of that vision, but it was the vision that set the course for my ministry and really for the rest of my life. And God let me know wherever people will pray, know that are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, stay in divine order, amen, in covenant, He's going to raise up in these end times a city of glory. How many of this is one of them? God's bringing the glory to Georgetown, Kentucky. I know that I know that. And this is the verse that we stand on for that promise of the glory coming, that the glory is going to cover the earth. But then it says, as the waters cover the sea. You know, God always talks in these hidden messages and these, you know, typologies. And He says, as the waters cover the sea. And of course, I believe seas in Scripture represent the nations or the peoples, the seas of humanity. The water is the revelation of the Word by the Spirit of God. Amen. The washing of the water of the Word. So as the Word goes out in revelation form and covers the people, those people are going to be able to usher in the very glory of God, because the glory comes from within us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so God's raising up an end time revivalist remnant church that will believe the Word of God, act on the Word of God, speak the Word of God, and through that church is stepping into the power of God and into living out of the kingdom, abiding in Christ. He's going to usher in the glory of God. I volunteer to be used for that. How about you? And so the waters cover the sea represent the Word covering or coming upon the people. But tonight I want to talk about a topic that hopefully doesn't cause any conflict for anybody. But I want to talk about coverings tonight. Amen? Because here, even in our verse about the glory, He says the waters cover the sea. God is a covering God. Amen. He's a God that wants everything undercover. So turn to Numbers. And let's get started in this. Numbers chapter 4. And we're going to spend the majority of this service night probably on the introduction. Hopefully have time left to get into the message. You know, make the final points. Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. Let's go to verse number 5. Now this is talking about the Israelites and their camp. How many know when Israel came out of Egypt, they were running about 2 million strong? Amen. And they wandered for 40 days in the wilderness. And God had them build a tabernacle with precise instructions. That tabernacle, it was where the Ark of the Covenant sat, and that represented the place where the presence of God dwelt. Amen. At the Ark, in the tabernacle. And so God gave them instructions about this tabernacle's construction, even instructions on how to move the tabernacle, how to move the entire camp, all the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. Plus the Levites. It always kind of amuses me. We talk about the 12 tribes when really there were 13. Because the 12 tribes don't include the Levites. They were a whole tribe unto themselves. Amen. But they received no inheritance of land. They dwelt among each of the tribes. They're actually 13, because Joseph received a double portion. That was free tonight. That was just extra. Verse 5, it says, "And when the camp setteth forward," in other words, the camp is going to move. How many know God would put a pillar of fire over Israel by night and a cloud over them by day? We'll get to that in a minute. It says, "When they setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons." Now, Aaron was the high priest. "And they shall take down the covering veil and cover the Ark of the Testimony. Now, I want you to see here as we're reading how many times the word covering appears. He said, they'll take down the covering veil. Now, the veil stood between the holy place and the most holy place, the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle. Amen. It separated man's ability to move into the presence of God freely. Amen. And so they would take down that veil and they would cover the Ark of the Testimony. And they shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And upon the table of shewbread they shall spread a cloth of blue. Understand, all this covering, all this spreading of cloths is a covering over all these tabernacle pieces. And put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and the covers to cover withal. And the continual bread shall be thereupon. Now he says, you're going to cover everything. Cover all of it. Amen. Cover it with coverings. Now, it's interesting here. He starts talking about not just the instruments that we know of. You know, we know about the Ark of the Covenant. We know about the altar of incense. We know about, you know, the table of showbread and the golden lampstand. You know, those are the primary instruments in the tabernacle. But he starts talking about cover up the spoons. Amen. Cover up all the instruments. Make sure everything is under cover. Now, I don't believe any of the Word of God is there by accident. I believe it's God-breathed there on purpose. And if God put it in the Word, it's got meaning for us. But we're going to see here, God wants everything before they move. He wants everything covered. Now, understand they're moving through the wilderness, so there's probably a lot of sand. So you don't want stuff getting grit on sand on it, you know, getting contaminated, right? But I believe it has a higher meaning. Oh, praise God. He wants us covered too. He didn't want you being contaminated. See, I believe when you're out from under covering, you are prone to contamination. You're prone to sand or grit getting in your life and causing chafing. Amen. Causing erosion. Verse number 8. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet. Oh, praise God. What's the scarlet represent? That's the blood, isn't it? I mean, God wants everything covered by the blood. And cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put the staves thereof. And they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his censers, and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they shall minister unto it. And they shall put it in all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger skins. Are you seeing how many times the word covering appears? And shall put to the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry. Say, all the instruments. All the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skins, and shall put them on a bar. And let's stop right there. He says, I want everything covered. Every instrument of ministry I need under a covering. Do you see that? Now, with that in mind, turn to Romans. Romans chapter 6. You remember what I had you repeat a minute ago? Oh, y'all are really quick here, aren't you? All the instruments. Amen. Try it again. All the instruments. Don't you love a smart aleck pastor? Verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You, your being, you are an instrument of ministry. And God said He wants all the instruments of ministry covered with a covering. I believe it's God's plan and his intention that every member of the body of Christ be under covering. Amen. A supernatural, spirit-led covering of God to provide protection for your life. Amen. In any and all circumstances which may ever arise. Sounds like my wedding vows. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now again, here it says we're the temple of God. We've just been reading about everything in the temple, the tabernacle being covered, right? The temple was the permanent construction of the temporary tabernacle. So they represent the same thing. The Ark of the Covenant was within the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or the temple. And that was where the presence of God dwelt. Well, guess what? We don't go to a temple now or a tabernacle to find an ark where the presence of God is. Amen. You're the temple of the living God. The Spirit of God dwells within us. And if God wanted everything covered in the Old Testament regarding the tabernacle, it's a representation of He wants us covered as the New Testament temples of God ourselves. Look over at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. A shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Here it lets us know that the things which were God instructed to take place in the Old Testament were shadows or typologies or analogies of stuff to do with the church or within the New Testament. Amen? It talks about the Red Sea, and the New Testament talks about the Red Sea being a typology of baptism. Amen? So where certain events took place, or God instructed certain things to be done, many times they have church representation. So when we're reading about everything in the Old Testament tabernacle being covered, I believe, again, it's a reflection or a shadow of God wants everybody, every Christian in the body of Christ covered. Amen. In particular, in these end times. Amen. And we're going to talk about what this covering is, but primarily it means you're in a church. Amen. Not just any church, but a praying church. You're in a Spirit-led church that the Spirit of God can instruct people to pray over your life when certain situations arise. Amen. That maybe it's, you know, not a time that you have time to pray, or maybe a time you don't know to pray, or it's the middle of the night for you, and God will wake somebody up to pray for you when you're in a dangerous situation to keep you under God's covering system. The Holy Spirit is the orchestrator of covenant. When you come into a covenant body like this one is, amen, we've come into a covenant. We've said, God, we want to do whatever you'd have us do. However you'd have us be used, use us. Amen. We trust you with our futures. We trust you with our lives. And we're going to pray for those in the body of Christ. And then God says, okay, I'm going to take you up on that. And He'll wake you up, or He'll inspire you during the day, put somebody's face before you and say, pray for them now. Or pray over the situation. And see, because we've come into a covenant, the Holy Spirit is the orchestrator of covenant. See, when we come together in covenant as the body of Christ, we've come into a covenant with God, with God's people before God. And the Spirit of God is the orchestrator of this covenant. He'll let you know if you've offended somebody in the body and have you make it right. Amen? The Spirit of God will let you know when maybe you're taking advantage of somebody and turn that around. The Spirit of God is going to correct you regarding offense in the body of Christ. God's raising up a church without offense. In February of 2005, Thursday morning, between 10 and 11 o'clock, probably about 10:30, I'm sitting listening to Pastor Philip Derber preaching at our Grace Advance, and right in the middle of it, God started talking to me. I just became over full-time to this church. We started the church in 2001, but I came over in 2004 full-time. And the Lord started speaking to me. He says, because you were faithful to uphold covenant in Frankfurt as assistant pastor, I'm going to surround you with covenant people, and your church will never know strife or major division. I mean, clear. And we've watched that word come to pass. We've had people get upset or people leave or whatever, you know, depart, but we've never had anybody able to take anybody with them. Why? Because of the covenant that God's established us in. Amen. And so in this covenant, God will let you know. He will let you know you're about to transgress against the covenant in the body. Amen. Well, the same Spirit of God will let you know when you're battling, or let you know when you're offended. Ever had the Spirit of God tell you you're battling offense? Let it go. Just forgive them. Let it go. It doesn't matter. Not worth it. Just let it go. That same Holy Spirit orchestrates covenant regarding the covering. And so the Spirit of God, if somebody's in trouble or somebody's got a danger, you know, dangerous moment the next day or whatever, you know, their whatever lies in their future, the Spirit of God may wake you up or unction you to pray for them. Amen. God brings you guys before my face all the time. I'll just be minding my own business, you know, polishing a motorcycle, and all of a sudden your face will come before me. Now, I don't know, time to pray. Amen. Father, don't let them pull that bonehead move. Just don't let them. No, that's how they were praying for me. Never mind. And so the Spirit of God will let you know, pray for him. He may have 10 people rise up and pray for you. And so, you know, if a bunch of us are praying for Psalm, and, you know, and then a bunch of us are praying for faith, and we're all praying for each other, it forms like a network. Do you ever see that string art? That's the way I always envision it. Do you ever see the string art where you put the nails on the board and you wrap the threads, and all the threads are pulled tight, they're all straight lines. But by the time you run all the threads in these lines, they form all these butterflies and curves and everything else, you know, and it was really popular back in the 70s. Amen. Put your string art on the wall. And so that's what the network is, the covering network. God, each of us praying for each other, and there's lines running of intercessory assignment between each of us. And as it's all interwoven, it forms a network of intercession over the body so that nobody's challenge in the body goes unprayed for. If you have a praying church, it takes a praying church. And it takes a Spirit-led church. It takes a mature church to know when somebody's face is, you know, flashes before you. It's not because you're supposed to gossip about them. It's because you're supposed to pray for them. And a canopy of covering is established. Amen. Because there's a covenant commitment to the body, the Holy Spirit then, through His responsibility to orchestrate this covenant, keeps everybody prayed over. Everybody's need taken care of. Are you following me? You know, we talk about in the body of Christ that, you know, if you have two coats, give them to somebody who doesn't have one, and you know that nobody should be in total lack and these kind of things. Well, how about prayer? The primary thing God's after in the body is, I believe, the assignment of the prayer covering. And every instrument is to be covered. To not be in a church that is a Spirit-led, amen, prayer-oriented church means you're out of covering. To not be in a church at all means you're in dangerous territory. To float church to church puts you in dangerous territory. Amen. God's got a church for you to connect to in covenant. Amen. Well, we're all part of the body of Christ. There's a whole lot of the churches I don't want to be connected to in covenant. There's a covenant as a Christian to treat them, you know, with honor, but I don't want them praying for me. Because 90% of their prayers are going to be unbelief. Amen. And so God will raise up with you a body that you can fitly join to. Amen. Exodus chapter 25. Don't you love the Word? Now here we have the construction of the tabernacle. And let's go to verse number 18. Exodus 25. Verse 18 says, "And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work. Thou shalt make them in the two ends of the mercy seat." Now, the mercy seat covered the Ark of the Covenant, right? He said, build or hammer out two cherubim. We always see them as the angels with the long wings covering the Ark. Beat out two cherubim for the mercy seat. And make one cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering. Everybody say covering.
Covering.
And what word did I tell you to say? No, covering. I just told you covering. Y'all trying to take me back. You backslid on that word, amen. Gave you a new word, you missed it. It says, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat. I do commend you that you did make adjustments and remember the last words. I do. Everybody say, Pastor Jack is wonderful. Now, what's the new word? So you're catching on. They'll stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Covering the mercy seat. Now, where was the presence of God? Amen. And the ark, though. Let's read on. And their face shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the covenant, or ark of the testimony, of all things which I give thee in the commandment unto the children of Israel. He says here, this mercy seat with the cherubim go on top of the ark, and the wings of the cherubim cover the ark. Now we already found out we are the New Testament tabernacle, right? But we're also now the Ark of the Covenant. We're where the presence of God dwells. And here we see again, God says, cherubim shall cover the mercy seat. Amen. These cherubim are angelic type beings. Amen. And so understand, in your covering over your life, I believe it includes angels watching over you. It says in Psalm 91, he'll give his angels charge over you, bear you up in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So understand, when you're in a covering church, and understand there's a responsibility to take your part in the covering, that God establishes angelic protection over your life. Now, what do you mean, take up your part? Well, I believe everything in the body of Christ works by seed time and harvest. Don't expect God to raise up everybody to pray for you if you'll never pray for anybody else. Amen? That'll work for a season. There's always a honeymoon with God to learn how to move in the kingdom. But if you're just lazy spiritually, God will have all the lazy spiritual people pray for you. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a full-time intercessor and come to all-night prayer every time and all these things, and you know that that's the only way you're going to get anybody to pray for you. You do your assignment. And if you do your assignment, God will raise up intercessors to pray for you. But at the same time, we're all commanded to pray ye for one another. So be responsible to have your own prayer time where you'll pray over the body of Christ. Amen. Pray for your government. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor's wife. Amen. And so the cherubim, the angels, cover the carriers of the presence of God. Do you catch that? Did you catch that? The angels cover the carriers of the presence of God. What if you're not carrying any anointing? probably a little bitty angel. I believe based on the anointing, I'm serious, I believe the anointing you carry, the calling that you're fulfilling, you can have more than one angel. And I believe your angels get bigger. Amen? Not that that one grows, but they bring in another bigger one just to help cover for you. Oh, amen. Get some warring angels to help the other angels that support and strengthen you. Amen. I don't know how it works, but I know we've got angels watching over us. And I believe the covering activates those angels. Oh, praise God. You still with me? Amen. Numbers chapter 9. You know, I hear people talk about, well, I tried to read the Old Testament. It was just so boring. Man, it's alive to me. I love to read Leviticus, Amen, Numbers, especially Deuteronomy. My goodness, Deuteronomy with the discussion God holds with Israel about going in and taking the promised land, it's so powerful. But each of these books, if you understand typologies, have New Testament reference within them. And if you'll understand and let the Spirit of God reveal them to you, that book will leap to life. Amen. As you're seeing here with just covering of the instruments of the tabernacle. You know, people read that and they go, and you'll cover this with badger skins, and you'll cover that with badger skins, and you'll cover this with scarlet, cover this with blue, and they're going like, oh my goodness, somebody give me toothpicks to hold my eyes open. But when you understand you're the instrument of ministry, you're going like, yes, glory to God, I'm under covering. Yes. Every part of my life is under covering. Thank you, Jesus. Including my family. Yes. Numbers chapter 9, are you there? Yes. And let's go to verse number 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Now understand, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But their instruction was to follow the cloud. If the cloud sits still, you don't move. But if the cloud departed, pick up everything real quick and put it under cover. Amen. And get back under the cloud. Once you're back under the cloud, you can uncover those instruments. So those badger skins and such actually became a temporary covering during a type of transition. Time of transition, until they got under the actual covering, which was the cloud. Why did God have to give Israel a cloud out there in the wilderness? I believe, for one, to give them some shade. Amen. I mean, you're out in desert areas. They would have baked without the cloud. But God covers, can you imagine the size of that cloud? Covers the whole camp of Israel with this cloud to give them protection from the sun. And kept them under continually a type of covering. Amen? And he says, when the covering moves, move with the covering. When your church makes a shift, shift with the move. Stay in the flow of what's going on with your covering. Amen? And as you transition and moving with them, guess what? You'll stay under covering that entire time. May not understand everything, but stay undercover. May not know where you're going. Stay undercovering. I've had God instruct me to do stuff that at the time I didn't understand regarding, you know, my church ministry. I remember 2001, Pastor Phillips says, I've started a Bible study in Georgetown and the Lord told me to have you take it over. I want to come to Georgetown. Did not want to come to Georgetown. I am working myself all hours just keeping up with Frankfurt as the assistant pastor. Go to Georgetown. And so I go to Georgetown, teach this Bible study. And really, it was a fine Bible study. You know, all eight people we would have, you know, six to eight people. Fine Bible study, but I think, my goodness. I was already doing Sunday morning twice, two service Sunday morning in Frankfurt. In other words, setting in them. I was doing Sunday night, Tuesday night, Friday night, and all the other special meetings. I was in church all the time. And he says, go start a church in Georgetown, or, you know, start a Bible study in Georgetown. No, I don't want to. But I had to stand recovering. And later, you know, I think it was like 6 weeks later, he says, hey, the Lord spoke to me. He says, it's a church, you're the pastor. Okay, I didn't understand it. I'm in a time of transition, but I stay under covering. And as you just flow with God and you transition, then He opens up your eyes. That first night, we started the church. I'd been a Bible study several weeks, and we started that church. I'm over in the Georgetown, you know, College Training Center where the Bengals had built that facility. 2001. And I go in every Thursday night, we were holding a Bible study. They put us in a different classroom. And so that one night, they put us in a different meeting room I'd never been in before and start teaching about this is now Grace Fellowship of Georgetown as a church and I'm the pastor. And I started talking about the vision of the glory gave me, the vision of the glory God had given me some 10 years before. And I get to the part about this water tower and two girls are laughing on the front row. And I said, what's so funny? They said, well, you said a water tower. And I described it as an oval water tower with a cylindrical base flaring out at the bottom, amen, that opened up inside was the city of glory. They says, well, there's a water tower right behind you. And I turned around and out this giant picture window they had in the classroom was the exact water tower I saw in the vision back in, I believe it was 89 or whatever, 90, something like that. The exact water tower. And I knew God was confirming this pastoring. I stayed undercover until the transition, you know, through the transition, and God opens up my eyes. And I'm telling you what, the anointing fell on that class, on that classroom, so thick you couldn't hardly stand. And I taught about the vision of the glory. We come over here. We're not here, but I mean a few months, and they build that water tower, the exact same water tower, straight out our front door. You look at our front door, straight down the center line. It goes right down the center of that water tower. So every time I see it, it reminds me of the vision because that's the water tower, the same perspective. I was taken about a mile back from the water tower. It opens up inside the city of glory. That's the exact tower I saw over 20 years ago. And God said, I'm raising up here a city of glory. But to get here, I had to stay under covering, not even knowing where I was going. Amen. Lock onto the covering and refuse to be taken out. Oh, praise God. Exodus chapter 40. We're kind of staying a whole lot in these first five books, aren't we? Exodus 40. Now here we have Moses setting up the tabernacle. God's given all these precise instructions on building the tabernacle. Amen. And so they build it. It says in verse 33, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. They're setting up the tabernacle for the first time. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now here we see the glory coming and covering them. If you'll do everything according to God's instruction regarding covering, amen, then you're positioned then for the glory to cover you later. We'll probably get there in a minute. But Adam in the garden, when he sinned, he realized he was naked. Because I believe before he sinned, he was covered with the glory. Do you follow me? I believe he was clothed in the glory. But when they sinned, the glory departed and he realized they were naked. God loves to undo everything Adam lost at the fall. Through Jesus, right? You read Romans chapter 5, it talks about everything Adam lost at the garden. We got that back and even more through Jesus Christ. But guess what? Where Adam lost his covering of the glory, God's going to reestablish his covering of the glory in his end time church. What happened with Moses here was a typology of what God's going to do in the finished temple of God, the finished construction project of God. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are lively stones being made, built up a spiritual house. Amen. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. God's building up a spiritual temple in his end times. And he's going to fill it with glory and cover it with glory. So where Adam lost the glory at the fall, God's reestablishing the glory over his end time church. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Do you see how this word just fits together? Amen. What a precise, wise God we serve. Numbers chapter 19. Numbers 19. And here God's talking about the process of purifying an unclean person. And if we go to verse number 15. And it says, in every open vessel. Remember we're instruments of ministry? Right? Oh, that was the first term we had to remember. We're instruments. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. That which has no covering, every open vessel, is unclean. I tell you what, I get accused all the time of not being open-minded. I don't want to be an open-minded person. I want to be a word-minded person. Amen. If I open my mind up to everything else out there, it's going to contaminate the word that's in me. Wow. I'm open to, if it's in the word, I'll believe it. Yeah. Amen. If it aligns with the word, I'll meditate on it. But I'm not meditating on false religions. I'm not meditating on UFOs I'm not meditating on, New Age concepts. I'm meditating on the word of God. And so somebody might say, well, you're just not being open-minded. No, but I am keeping myself under covering where I'm not contaminated. Right. Others that want to be open-minded and try to marry religion into, Islam and get Chrislam and want to, be open-minded to homosexual marriage or be open-minded to pornography, open-minded to, abortion. They are unclean. Because I believe they move themselves out from under covering. And when you move yourself out from under covering, you become a target of every unclean spirit trying to contaminate your thinking. I feel like there's three different directions I can go. But we know in 2 Corinthians 10 it says, for we battle not against flesh and blood, right? Or the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. We recognize the battlefield is our mind. The primary place we do spiritual warfare is in our mind. Casting down thoughts that are opposite the Word of God. Well, I believe when you're under covering, it shields you from a whole lot of demonic assault against your mind. Now, there's to be arrows that penetrate. There'll still be thoughts you have to cast down. But under covering, I believe God protects you from the majority of mental assaults. But when you're out from under covering, your mind becomes the devil's playground. And all of a sudden you're walking by reason, what seems reasonable, what seems like, you know, reasonable to the world, all of a sudden becomes reasonable to you. You're out from under covering. And you move into unclean state because of what you entertain. Now, also, when I think about something open, I think about an open well, an open pit. Amen. Something that's open, the doors are open for anything to come in. You know, Patty, I was painting a motorcycle the other day. And the paint I use has cyanides in it. Oh, yippee. And so I wear respirators. You know, I'm all sealed up. I got long sleeves on. I got a plastic bag over my head. I'm not even having exposed skin for the most part. I'm out there painting in the garage. Did you guys read Lori's post she put on Facebook here about a week ago? I had painted a lawnmower in a garage. And Lori put on it, well, Dad's painted another item in the garage. Now the floor of the garage is blue. Every time he paints something, every time he paints a car, the garage becomes another color. It's orange now. It's every color. Amen. Paint everywhere. It usually just wipes off. And so every time Dad paints a car, the garage is another color. And one of her friends commented and said she wrote a paper, I believe it was in high school, where she wrote a story, had to write a story. And so she wrote her story about somebody painting their car in the garage. And the teacher kicked it back and said nobody would ever paint a car in their garage. I've lost track how many cars I've painted in my garage. Amen. So I'm painting the motorcycle in the garage. I was going somewhere with that story. Oh, and these fumes are there. And so I walk in and some of the fumes had seeped under the door. I had stuff covering the door and everything. Some had come in. So Lori said, I can smell it. And, you know, it's really not that dangerous that if you catch a whiff, you're going to drop dead. It's very small amounts of anything of concern, but you still don't want to smell it. So we took the parakeet and the parrot outside, moved them outside because we didn't want them keeling over as a sign that maybe they got too, fumes were a little heavy. And I said, Lori, open the back door. I'll open the front. We'll let some air through here. You follow me? Open the doors. And I get home and Patty is like, are you kidding me? You open the doors. Bugs can come through open doors. Open the windows. They have screens. I'm thinking doors let more air through. But she's got this thing about no bug can be in the house. What was it? We saw a show here, kind of drifting here and there. We saw a show here a week or so ago where somebody's house is full of bugs. And no. Who was it? Lost the tarantula in the house? It's only been about a week or two ago. We were talking to somebody. Mike and Joy Corder. You know the quarters? When Bobby Jean was here. And they were telling us their daughter or something had a tarantula that lost the tarantula in the house and they never found it. I said, Patty, we'd have to find another house. That's it. We're not saying that house is not condemned as far as she's concerned. And you catch and find it was a female that laid eggs, right? I'm sorry, no nightmares. And so, open doors let in bugs. Well, an open container lets in demons. You wonder where I was going with that, didn't you? You're open. You come out from under covering and you start entertaining the wrong things, the wrong mindsets, and demonic powers move in. You become a haunt of devils, amen, because you became open-minded. All started with being open-minded. Be word-minded, not open-minded. Amen. Now, you're open to whatever the word may say. You certainly don't get dogmatic. Well, I believe that's what the Bible says. And I don't care what else it says in the Bible. I already believe this is a part of the Bible, you know. And you come up with crazy doctrines like, you know, God doesn't heal anymore and women can't preach and everything else. Open vessels become contaminated. We must stay under covering. Not me. I don't need all that. I think I can do it. I do just fine by myself. You're in dangerous territory. God's the one to establish the covering system. He's the one that directed us to be part of the church. Amen. An active part of the church. Versus drift in and drift out whenever it's convenient. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, we have a passage here talking about Satan. And it says over in verse number 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. And thou was upon the holy mountain of God, and has walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, and thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee," talking about Satan, "O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Here God refers to the devil as a covering cherub. Now how many know he was a fallen angel? Or he is a fallen angel. But at one time in heaven, he had covering responsibilities. Satan understands the covering. And I tell you what, if I was in a fight with somebody, and in that fight, they had a sword, the guy I'm fighting, he has a sword and a shield, and I'm focusing on the sword, making sure I don't get cut, and every once in a while he just slams a shield into my head, I'm going to become very aware of that shield. Do you follow me? And the devil is always trying to penetrate our defenses. He's trying to penetrate our covering. But I believe when he makes a wrong move, him and his demonic hordes, the covering shield slams up against their head. I believe it's painful for the enemy to have to come against us. I believe it's painful to them when we use the sword of the Spirit against them. It causes them some fashion or some form of discomfort. Why? Because it does dislodge them. Something causes them discomfort to dislodge them from their assaults. So when you speak the Word of God, it has an effect on the enemy. I mentioned this a week or so ago. I believe when the enemy is, you know, attacking us, those little imps are trying to attack you, I believe there's a big principality behind them saying, "You will do this." Making them do it because they don't want to do it. Because those limps are going like, "He whooped me so bad last time, I don't want to go again." "You'll go. Right or die." So they're being forced to come against you. And they keep running into the sword or slamming their head on the covering shield. And of course, I believe the covering shield is always sword sticking up anyway. When you're praying for people, you're speaking the word. You're speaking the word over people, right? Are y'all catching this picture? Yes. And so the enemy understands coverings. And he understands as long as you're under covering, for the most part, he can't get to you. Not like he'd like to get to you. So when he attacks you in that battlefield of the mind, what's he going to be telling you? Move out of your covering. Get out from under that covering canopy. Except he doesn't say that. He would never say it like that. He says, "You don't need that church. They don't like you there. They don't understand you. The pastor, he's after your money. The pastor's making up testimonies, you know, the pastors of that. And, you know, they're just not treating you right. You're not getting the promotion you're supposed to get. You need to find another church where you'll be appreciated or respected or used in your higher levels and all this." And the enemy attacks you in the area of thought to feel like you don't connect. Remember that isolation spirit? Everybody hates you. Nobody likes you. Might as well go eat worms. Trying to move you out, not just to separate you from the church, but to get you out from under covering. Now, I'm going to say something. And I believe it with all of my heart. But others that leave would think it's no big deal. But I believe when you move out from under your assigned covering of God, you become a major target of the devil. And he's not happy just with, you know, creating some discomfort in your life for a few days. He wants to set up camp in your life. And I've watched person after person leave the church where they were thriving and move out and all of a sudden become lost in confusion, disoriented spiritually, lose their anointings. I'm not saying it happens to everybody, you follow me. But those that the enemy many times moves out of covering, they're not where God wants them, all of a sudden they're an open target to the enemy. And they become flaky. Amen. Of course, people will say, we're flaky. No, we're liberated. The difference between flaky and liberated. Amen. We're liberated, but we stay in divine order. Right. Amen? And we flow in the Spirit versus flow in the spirits. Big difference. Amen. And they that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. They that are led of the spirits are flakes. Amen. And sometimes people have a hard time discerning which are which. Yes. Amen. That's another reason you need covering. God anointed covering, no, for the most part, it may take a while for it to show up, but to know the Spirit led from the Spirit's led. That'd make a good sermon, wouldn't it? Satan understands coverings. He wants to take you out of covering. Jude. Let's go there. I'm running low on time. I'm trying to figure out what to cover tonight. Pun intended. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to go into flaky grace tonight, but turning the grace of God into a license to just sin and do what you want to and saying, well, God, the blood covers it. You're deceived. You can't just flow in intentional sin, in major sin, turn your life over to being led of the flesh and led of the devil and think, well, it's okay. I'm a Christian. Amen. There's a requirement to go after God. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Here were people that came out of Egypt. They would have been the saved. But not all of them made it to the promised land. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. There's the fornication. People think, well, I just sleep with who I want to. Doesn't matter. There was a major, I won't mention the name, but one of my past favorite teachers, major worldwide ministry, came out here just a few weeks ago and said, you can sleep around all you want, amen, and you'll still go to heaven. You just won't have a reward. I don't agree with that. You follow me? In other words, he's saying you need to quit it because if you want to be blessed of God, you know, when you get to heaven, you need to make sure you don't do that. But if you do it anyway, you just get to heaven, but it'll just be wood, hay, and stubble and you won't get a reward. I don't believe that's what wood, hay, and stubble is. Amen? Give themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I'm telling you what, here's a clear example. That's not allowed in the church. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. That word dominion there is exousia, authorities. and speak evil of dignities. That's the glory. Let's go on to verse 10. But these speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally. In other words, they're led by the natural mind, the soul realm, by reasoning. As brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Korah. Verse 12. Now what this is talking about is people that come in, but they don't connect in covenant. They're not under divine authority. They despise divine authority. Amen. They're just doing their own thing. They're not undercover. Woe unto them, it says. Verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity or love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. And let's stop there for just a second. He says they are clouds without water. Now, God gave the cloud to Israel for a covering. Do you follow me? The cloud of glory came over the tabernacle when they finished that construction. Amen. So the cloud represents a covering. And here it says, these are clouds themselves. They've established themselves as their own covering. Hopefully I don't stretch this too far, but I believe it applies anyway. They've established themselves as their own covering. They're their own cloud. Nowhere in Scripture does it refer to us as clouds. We're trees of righteousness. We're temples of God. Amen. Instruments of God. Body of Christ. There's reference after reference of who the church is in Scripture. Never a cloud. Nor do I believe when we go to heaven we'll be floating on a cloud playing harps. Clouds are representative of the covering. And here, Jude says, these are clouds of themselves. They are not in divine order. They are not connected to the church in covenant. They're floating, doing their own thing, going to this church or that church, whatever feels good, do it. And he says, they have an artificial covering and they have no water. No anointing. Amen. Trees twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What's it mean, twice dead? How can the tree be twice dead? Well, understand, everybody that's born into this world, born of women, are born into sin. You're spiritually dead. Amen? When you got born again, you were resurrected from the dead. You became alive. But those who would leave that Spirit-led assignment of God, those who would disconnect from the church and start doing their own things, those who would depart from their covering, God says, you died again. You lost your salvation. You are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Roots are faith. It says in Ephesians 3, we're rooted and grounded by faith in love. Roots are your faith. And so, they've been plucked up because their faith didn't connect to the right source. Didn't connect to the church. Didn't connect to the love of God. Amen? Floating around, driven by the wind. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. No covering, no protection. You become a habitation of the demonic, and you're blown about by every wind of doctrine. We don't have time to go there tonight, but basically, 2 Peter, Peter gives us the same story, that these rebellious ones are clouds without water. Both Jude and Peter use the same reference to clouds, having no water. God gave us the covering to keep us protected. You know, when you tell people as a pastor, you need to be in church, you need to connect, you need to let God, you know, get you involved. You need to be involved in prayer and let God strengthen you by the word and, you know, all these instructions. Well, you're just trying to control my life. No, I'm trying to protect it. Amen. I mean, if the bridge was out and I didn't tell you, I'd be partly responsible. If you follow the story all the way through. In the same fashion, I've got to let people know there's a covering system of God that you can connect to, and without it, you become an open target. But praise God for the covering. See, if I miss prayer, I'm not worried, because I know God will raise up one of you to pray for me. I always pray when I get on the motorcycle. Well, usually. I'll say, Father, I thank that you give your angels charge over me to bear me up on my ways, right? Lest I dash my head on a stone, foot or stone or anything, you know, toe, anything else. I thank you, Father, you uphold me by the right hand of your righteousness. The rubber stays down. I'll pray. Not, you know, cry out for 30 minutes before I get on it, but I'll just pray as I get on it. Father, thank you. But I know if I forget to pray, God will have one of you pray. If it's a dangerous situation, I've seen God deliver me from dangerous situations time and time again. Why? I'm under covering. Stay under covering. You know not what dangers lie ahead that you never had to be confronted by. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, for your word, for all you're doing in our lives and our midst. And we believe you for revival. We believe you for the glory. But Father, we know that you have a kingdom that is not an undefined kingdom. It's a well-defined kingdom. It's a well-defined structure in your kingdom. And Father, we want to be fully in line with the structure of your government system, fully protected by your covering system, and fully flowing in the move of the Spirit in the midst of all of this. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be used by you in the highest levels of anointing. And you keep us from danger. You keep us from flakiness. You keep us in line, being fully unctioned and protected by the Spirit of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss tonight. But if there's anybody here that would need prayer, if you want me to pray for you for healing.